I think just because you're new, and this may be the one and only time, I don't know how that's going to work, but do you want us to introduce ourselves?
Why don't I start with introducing myself?
Okay.
My name's John Boyd, and I'm the planning manager for the city, and I've been here actually a year, I work on a little bit of everything, quite honestly. So, not much more to say.
Zach's boss.
Yeah.
And Zach is...
Have you had an update on Zach?
Yeah, why don't you do a quick update?
Zach, you know, I've forgotten Zach's wife's name, and I'm
Jessica.
So embarrassed.
Jessica.
I'm not sure. They had Bennett, and Bennett Marshall, I believe.
Yes.
And 8 pounds plus, and got to see him the other day, and... he's just a little cute thing. So Zach will be out for a little bit. He's been out for a couple weeks, and will be out for a couple weeks more, and then he's going to be back, you know, limited duties, so to speak. So he's taking some time, which has been really good for him.
So it's actual time off, not working from home?
Right now he's completely off, and then he'll work part-time here, and one day at home, and then take some more time off. And it's crazy kind of a schedule for a little bit. But
I know it's for a baby. What was his wife's name again?
Jessica.
I think it is. I have her name.
Yeah. That sounds right. I was going to say Nancy, and that didn't sound right.
It starts with a J, but with Jessica or Jennifer, I don't remember which.
Yeah. Planning manager? Okay. You're from Canada?
For Massachusetts, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
Where in Massachusetts?
From Malden.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Are they about?
It's like when I'm home back east for 2 or 3 weeks, I just sound
sick.
Boston. Mm-hmm. But after I'm here for a while, I do. People say Kent Canadian all the time. If you want one, you can have one.
So I'm going to be in the church
parks
starting
the car,
next Wednesday. Parks. I'm doing
good.
Yeah. You're doing
going out to Boston.
Oh, you know,
Boston.
Actually,
the humidity is probably starting about right now. So I want to go back. I would love to see. They're putting the Constitution up in dry dock. It's in dry dock now.
Oh, really? Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, and they're doing like a major remodel on it. So
that's the boat, not the paper.
Right.
Yeah, the boat.
It's actually
the boot.
But a boat. If you haven't been on, it's fantastic.
It really is neat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do the old trolley trip, and you can get on and off and all that type of.
Was it Shauna who had replaced Zach for that one meeting?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And Shauna is
she's the person that gets everything done here.
Right, yes. Shauna is planning staff. Used to be in public works.
Mm-hmm.
And Shauna, for a long time, was actually our staff liaison before Zach was assigned to us. So she's got a history with us, you know, for good or bad. I think for both sides it's good.
Shauna also reports to you?
Yes.
So they're curious. But Shauna's not coming back to continue or to replace Zach, or you are?
Zach, I probably will be in the short term.
Okay.
We're down actually, Sarah.
Oh, yes. Sarah left.
Jeff Baronic. She left to go to Arizona. And so we're significantly down, people. And so we're all just filling in where we can, and you know, getting done what needs to get done, and it's working. It's a little hectic. So.
Will you be filling in the slots, or is this the new norm?
I'll be just filling in for a little bit. We've hired someone, and
for Sarah's position,
okay. And we'll be filling in. I think Zach will be coming back to you when he returns.
Right.
It's just.
It didn't seem like he was going to be back. I saw a printout of his schedule when we met about 2 weeks ago. And it seemed like he starts coming back into the office like 2, maybe 3 times a week, starting June. And then pretty much all of June, it's maybe in anywhere from 1 to 3 days a week, and then work from home, and then off for all of June. So I would think then he'd be back full-time-ish, and I'm just speculating, around July.
Full-time-ish is probably closer to late August, early
September. Late August, okay. Yeah. Makes sense. So,
and I'm honestly, for the first month back that he's doing that schedule, so that'd be like June, I'm kind of keeping open-minded because his family needs, you know, arise. We're going to sure be flexible as we can.
Right,
You know, it'll be like an odd schedule, I think.
And, you know, and so that's kind of what we need to talk about. I mean, we could do next steps, but why don't we talk about how the work session went on Monday, and You can correct me. You can correct me. You can correct me.
yeah, I didn't see the recap on the website.
So. Yeah, no. It went well. Council seemed to like what we have done and what we did. We only got one comment. and maybe you can claim it was about that one specifically, but... it was more of, you know, but my question, I guess, and it's a good thing you're here, is should we look at all the alls?
All the what?
I think it was in water.
Yeah.
And it was one of the goals.
Let me,
yeah. I didn't bring it with me.
Well, my general comment was, while I fully agree with that the document itself and our sustainability goals should be, you know, we should truly dream and be very aspirational. You know, I think that's very appropriate. There are some characterizations of the goals. One of them I used as an example was the one for water, goal 2, I think
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, right. There it is. Goal 2. How are you? By 2040, all stormwater is infiltrated on or near the place where it falls.
So my very point about that was, you know, realistically... Even if we had, I mean, it would take just enormous funds, and it would be pretty impractical for us to be able to. I like having the goal of containing stormwater, particularly for all new construction and where we have the opportunity to do that. But in all the existing infrastructure we have, to think that we could contain all our stormwater on site was, I mean, most homes are connected into the stormwater, and it's one of those things that while it's, I like it as aspirational right. or for new things. I'm wondering, is saying that by 2040 all our water is going to be that way, it's so unrealistic that I question about how, you know, if we want to use that wording or somehow modify it. Or
modify it. You can modify the word all to be all that is practical, all that is realistic, or however. But to
you
qualify.
Know, maybe what we want to do is we all future by then for all future all new construction maybe. Is and then existing, you know, for existing structures or infrastructure, maybe that's a goal we want to try and turn it over or see we can retrofit or where possible where we're doing system upgrades that we might integrate those kinds of things. But
and then that depends on the even that all depends upon is a, if it's going to well wait a minute, if you're saying it has to be maintained on site, that would be fine because if there's a network yeah. and the network is not fully connected yet. You couldn't work into the network, but it's fine if it's going to be on site.
Yeah.
You have to really think
that. So I brought it up, and I think, you know, I want to, you know, kind of maybe it just needs a little bit of thinking
right.
and brainstorming
yeah.
around
yeah.
how we characterize it or qualify it, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could always put an asterisk on something like that, like, you know, we recognize with the existing
yeah.
infrastructure and the cost of, you know, retrofitting all stormwater collection, including all residential homes, is kind of impractical.
Yeah.
And
well,
not feasible.
What's,
but it's still a goal we want to do, and certainly for any new construction, we should be trying to do that.
And we have the tools to affect more new construction than we do to sort of...
We do.
What's it exist?
Yes, we do.
So, yeah.
And we can, you know, look at our code, and we can address
exactly.
it.
Well, and with that, and let me... And I want to be careful with... And I guess you could call it this. With construction versus development or whatever. Part of my... thinking with that is, and I'll give you one of my major pet peeves over the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
Was not turning Santa Anita into a green street, narrowing it down, doing kind of on-seat, you know, slowing it down by narrowing it, giving it a real bike path. So it wasn't construction per se, you know, or development. So I don't know where something like that would have fallen in under this. Where we could be as roads are getting upgraded,
mm-hmm.
If it was applicable for them to be more of a green street where you can do the infiltration, stormwater management
mm-hmm.
right there, infiltration
mm-hmm.
right there, that would be nice to have. And to me, Santa Anita would have been a perfect choice.
Did we look at that? I wasn't aware of that.
That was, you know, that was one of those shovel-ready projects.
Mm.
During the stimulus, so it was a project that was already, you know, on the shelf.
Mm-hmm. So they did the mid section upgrade.
Well, they actually, I think really all they did is kind of a
redo the planners. Right?
Yeah, they did the planners, and you know, and this was like I said, it was there's been sort of two phases. I think the original was just essentially just clean it up a little bit, play with the curb some, and do the paving. Mm-hmm. And that was the one, that was the original project. And that was, well, it was actually Obama's first term when that was done, because mm-hmm. that was when the stimulus project was. And that was just, you know, that's like the, okay, here, it's ready to go. You know, it had to be already written, basically out to bid, mm-hmm. To fit under the stimulus project. Mm-hmm. And that just wasn't part of the mindset, mm-hmm. unfortunately, back then. Mm-hmm.
Over the last year, they've done substantial planting on Santa Anita.
Oh, yeah.
Called the Meridian Restoration Project.
Yeah, well, that's what it is now. It was totally different. They're totally separate projects. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those
things. Instead of doing a Meridian Restoration Project, do a Green Street?
It would have been easier to do it the first time, mm-hmm. you know, because they were kind of more in the trenches then. So
when I think of restoration, I sort of think more of the green going that direction.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah. And you could have done swale even on the east side there, because right. just have the sidewalk on the one side of the street, on that street would be
right.
fine.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because a lot of people cross. There's not a lot of need to walk on the other side.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I'm not saying, you know, but I'm trying to figure out, so, you know, when the wording for development or construction seems more, it doesn't necessarily somehow imply roads to that. And so, you know, and I don't know that we need to wordsmith this one right now.
Do you have another hard copy?
I do not.
Oh, you do not? Okay.
But, So one of the things we...
Infrastructure? I don't know.
Well, but I think in a more global sense of the point was, I'm not sure how many alls we have in here.
I suspect there's a lot. I was all citizens will be healthy.
Right, right.
You know, I love it. But I mean,
come on.
You know,
yeah.
And all citizens will eat fully, you know, sustainably.
Yeah.
And yeah. And again, those, I love the goals. I don't want to stop us from dreaming. And I want the city to work on those things. And I think it should be a priority for us. But maybe we just want to revisit some of those and see if we might tweak the wording somehow so it's achievable. You know, I mean, I think our goals should be achievable.
I mean, you never know what technology is going to be coming up from and innovations are going to be coming up to make things a lot easier.
And also, it's likely that this will be updated every 10 years. Five, 10
but,
years.
But why don't we take it as an action for our committee to go back and look at those areas where we've made those types of references and ask the hard questions about, is it realistic, is it practical, is it achievable?
But I think when we were drafting this, we weren't necessarily looking at everything that was realistic. As you put it, it was aspirational. This is what we should be working toward, even if we can't do it all.
Yeah, and again, I was hoping that the larger group, I think having a discussion, I'm not saying maybe we change it necessarily. I'd like to just have, a little of the discussion and hear from the group and just reach a consensus on it. Because it did strike me when I went back and read it this time, because I went back and read through the whole plan this time. And it kind of stood out and it made me think about it. So I wanted to bring it up to the group.
Well,
and maybe the decision of the group is to keep it.
Well, I think, you know, aspirational is important, but credibility is also important. Are we credible when we say things like, when any one of us would recognize that it's not likely to happen?
If someone asks if you're credible, then you just go back to the natural step and say, we use the natural step for this, which means you have to set the goal that you really want, the big, hairy, audacious goal. That's what we decided, is to create these BHAGs for goals. And then work backwards, called backcasting. We had a workshop and learned about the natural step, and that's kind of what you have to do. You have to put in what would be the ideal version and work backwards.
Well, go ahead.
One of the things that occurred to me when there at the meeting was the goals, really, it is important that they be aspirational, and that perhaps just removing the 2040 date from all of those goals so that they stood out as aspirations of things we want to achieve, and putting any dates down in the strategies or tactics so that we maintain the aspirational part.
Mm. Yes. Oh, and then you could phase it.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we get down, when we get down
idea.
To the...
Yes.
That's a good idea.
So I work a little bit in organizing, and in that field we look at, there's three phases: the world as it is, the world as it should be, and the world as it can be. So I think the should be is where we're at in the goals. The can be is when we get down to analyzing individual strategies and individual things we can do and accomplish, and we can put targets on those and metrics and so forth. But
so then the strategies would have the targets?
Did you want the
targets? Well, strategies and or tactics.
Did you want the targets? Yeah.
It depends on where.
I can get an electron.
We've had that conversation several times about numeric quantifying of ghost goals, whether or not it made much sense. I'm with you. I'd like to see us speak to the aspirations to present that vision. And then the practicalities of how we get there can be detailed out or broken out.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But giving a sense of where we're trying to go as a goal, as a community, I think is what.
Well, just walking in, I made the assumption that was probably one that you all had, was that we were converting the plan from whatever date it had on it to 2040. That was sort of like an underlying assumption you were making at the time.
Yeah, I mean, there was.
Isn't the date in that actual? If you look at the goal there, isn't it actually specified in the date?
Yeah, it is. It is 2040.
Yeah.
Because that was the date, you know, again, going back to the Imagine West Lynn, that's kind of the date for the whole
document.
So we don't have to reiterate it.
You could say it up front and be clear.
And we're covered, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that also was, we were looking at plans of other cities, and many of the other cities' plans had dates in the aspirational section, and I think we were kind of emulating that. Mm. But I think your idea is a good one.
Well, I'd have to go look at every single goal, but there might be some goals in there where the date is perfectly reasonable to have.
It could be.
Yeah.
Important, and it's that.
This one on stormwater is the one to me that really stood out, because when you think of every single home in this, there's very few of our homes where it's managed on site. Because you question yourself, okay, well, should the city then be implementing goals to redo everyone's stormwater at their home? I mean, and that's
that'd be huge.
Just to clarify, it's not always going to be up to the city, like the entity of the city. There can be partners that take on a lot of these projects.
Out of order. We've talked a lot about that. Yeah, whether or not this is a document instructing the cities in its performance or instructing all collaborators involved in creating West Lynn.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's a different perspective. I was putting on my city hat as a councilor or mayor. And
lot of partners. Thinking. We want to have a lot of partners helping with these goals.
But even with that, it's still a rough goal. And something that was pointed out to me years ago by one of the planners is, because he was a little resistant to on-site stormwater, depending on where you are in the city, there's a lot of clay. And so the absorption just doesn't happen. And
some
so
areas,
that,
there's
so you
some
have
slope.
To,
yeah, right. Yeah, yeah,
slope,
yeah.
You have to worry about the neighbors, and it causes problems with your neighbor next door. So you have to build, you know, infiltration basins or, you know, infiltration galleries. And then it's a whole new regulations on some of those. If they get up to a sizable piece.
Work a little better, a little better, you know, sub-region areas.
And I've dealt with those in professionally, too. So that might be one where it might be appropriate to just address it with a date. The one about everyone being healthy, maybe we do want everyone all healthy, but maybe that doesn't have the date on it either.
Right. So I think maybe an approach would be, so go ahead, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was going to say, so maybe now, and I'll try to kind of do a synopsis of this conversation, so the only two people missing are Tamara and Nicole, is that we go back to our every person, whatever section you worked on, go back to that section, look for those things, and then send them to you now, right?
If you need edits done to the document.
So if we need to do a couple of edits, you know, and then kind of clean those up. Because I know with the energy one, I put dates on it, but then I put a percentage. You know, trying to stick with, you know, lots of different references. But I do know there's a fair amount of alls in here. So I think we need to go back, find those, and see, you know, kind of in...
Are we going to all line up to this notion where it's set and established as a goal of 2040 up front and sort of the introductory sections? And
it's there.
And therefore we don't need necessarily reference a year throughout the rest?
Unless it's important. Like for me with energy, it was important.
Okay.
you know, because I didn't use 2040, I used 2020 or 2030 be in line with kind of what the IPC is saying, IPCC and some other things. So, but for others, if the date doesn't matter, you can assume we can go with 2040.
Okay.
And for that matter, if we do it as, you know, as part of the strategy, you can say, you know, because I know Corvallis and Whistler and lots of others said, you know, all, but by 2020 they wanted to be here, by 2030 they wanted to be there, you know, so they kind of ratcheted up. And
well,
okay. I think
part
the food
of our work
was one
is
of
going
them.
To be doing some backcasting, I feel like, and putting new dates in between now and then.
Right, yeah, yeah. And maybe not a lot.
Or milestones, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that we need to do a lot. I mean, I think even, you know, one that seems somewhat realistic, you know, kind of is, and maybe, I don't know where that fits, you know, mm-hmm. for each goal, but I think that's the way to look at it. The question then is, when do we want to have this all done by? So we can...
Another all.
Yes, yes. Yes, when do we want this all done by? So we can get it to you to get it back to us. So we can say, sounds good, let's get it to council as a resolution.
Is that what happens? Is that our ultimate goal here, is to get it stamped by the council? It says, yes, we believe in this document. We put our official blessing and sanctioning behind it.
Yes.
All right?
Yep.
So that's the goal we're shooting for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have an interim step now of revising.
It's not easy to find. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do we each individually send our comments to John, or do we meet as we met before as a group and have a consensus on what the revision should be? John will go crazy if he gets five different comments.
John won't know what to do if three people have three different opinions
but if
on
we
the
stick
same
with,
point.
But if we're just sticking with our own categories, like
then we'd meet as a team, for example, on our category.
Right, right.
Okay.
So we're not. So you know, I will just do energy and built environment. I won't look at the other ones. I may look at them, but I'm not going to comment on them.
What if we just let one person from each group?
Yeah, that would be fine. As long as they let the other person see it before we send it to John, I think that would make sense.
So,
and it's no more than four people.
So it is, again, the focusing on the all-exclusivity, the practicality, et cetera. Are there any other issues that we need to be looking at while we're going and revisiting the document?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay.
Otherwise, everything seemed hunky-dory.
Okay. So that's the only thing that really might stand in the way of...
Right.
Even process. Community inclusion, which was the most... controversial part.
I thought we wrote it well, though. I thought we went back and we did a good job there. So,
so far.
Okay.
I was surprised that didn't, however, raise some insight or some interest, because it was, you know, it was looking at sustainability above and beyond what you might typically put under that umbrella.
Like all people are helping.
Calling it a community.
It's the equity piece.
Well,
and Russell, I appreciated your email comment about that. I don't know if you remember, mm-hmm. but you did make a comment about the community inclusion
mm-hmm.
section in an email. So you were for it, and I appreciated that.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Well, it would be nice to have comments to John to turn it around so we could look at it at our next meeting.
When's your next meeting?
That was my question. We typically meet, I think, the third
Thursday,
which would be the 18th of June, which I can promise you I will not be here for that.
Boy Scouts?
birthday,
oh, I have
plenty of family, and a bar mitzvah in 2 days.
On the 20th?
Yeah. So I'm not even thinking about a meeting in June.
What about Tuesday?
That week's out. I might as well say I'm on vacation.
Is he saying the week after?
So the week after would work for me.
What about the week after? Then?
And the Thursday would. Family's here till Tuesday for me. So Thursday the 25th.
Okay.
Just so everybody knows, June 25th was Custer's last stand.
Next meeting is going to be...
That really threw me off.
Thursday the 25th.
We're checking. If does that work?
Yeah.
It's okay with me.
Yeah, okay. Let's go for that. That gives us a little bit more time.
An extra week.
So well.
You may even have a Zach.
I can take the food category since Nicole's not here. I'll just do that. Which one of you wants to take the inclusion?
I'll work on community inclusion.
Just as a thought, it would help.
Yeah.
It would help to have the comments by the 18th. That way you would have a product back in draft form that you could have so you'd be ready to discuss on the 20th.
Does that give you enough time?
Well, depending on the volume of the comments, I'm not sure.
I don't think we're going to get that many. Yeah, given the suggestion, there's not likely to be a lot.
Yeah,
I think we're pretty far along in the document. I don't think there'll be too many.
Yeah, I get that sense, too, that I should be able to process, if you give it to me by the 18th, a quick turnaround, and then get you the edited document. So you'll have it for discussion in advance for the 25th.
That'd be great.
So, we're not bringing Beth in to do any of the editing.
No, she's done.
Okay. From me, you might get just a couple little, just more general comments, because I'm not focused so much on a section, and I'm trying to just give more of a some global thoughts.
And what I'd return back to you would have like bold and underline or strikeout.
Oh yeah,
format, so that you'll know what's the new and what's the old.
Right. Yeah. You know, I got to say, I don't think I'd seen the final version because I know that Zach was going to apply a template that was at least going to enforce some
and took whatever you had as
standards in my draft.
This is
whatever
was the electronic one we were given. The council was
correct.
Given?
Yeah.
And that's the one available.
And that's the one I sent you.
Okay.
Is that to everyone?
With
your presentation.
Looks like this.
With your presentation. Right.
You and Nicole and I were going to meet with Zach and discuss where he was in the process and stuff like that, and he was having a baby. Baby came about 3 weeks earlier than he had planned.
I heard, but it was still 8 pounds something, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Full head of hair,
too.
Big just
a baby.
Yeah,
I know. That's what I was
full head of hair, too. Just
wanted it out.
It's ready for the barber.
Beard. Sideburns. You know.
Babies are so cute.
So that kind of caught everybody off guard. I think that's fair to say, including
the parents.
Zach and the parents, Jessica? Jennifer?
Jessica.
Okay.
We were so off guard that we thought it was a girl. I remember the meeting where we could get a present.
Oh, yeah, right. So if we do that, if we meet the 25th, and...
Comments back by the 18th.
Comments back to the 18th. So we still may have comments about the comments. You know, once we put them all together and kind of go, oh, that's what you said. I don't think there'll be much of that, but it'll be good for us to review them at that meeting. Does council go on hiatus in the summer at any points?
No.
Sorry. You know, you got to ask. If we go with the idea that... So we're all hunky-dory in June 25th with maybe a few things. We could probably get on council agenda late July or August, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
Would be my sense of it, yeah.
The one thing I'm not sure about, because that pushes it to the last Thursday of the month, there's a Lakers League of Oregon Cities meeting that gets together.
Okay.
Usually that last Thursday.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which would take me out. But I don't have it on my calendar. Let me see if it's on.
Well, there's no reason we need to meet on a Thursday, right?
Calendar.
We could meet on Wednesday?
Yeah, we could. I mean, Wednesday's fine. Monday and Tuesday are not.
Wednesdays aren't always fine. We have meetings on. I need to be. Yeah.
Right.
Planning commission.
Council
it would be
and
nice.
Work sessions usually take Mondays.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
If we're doing anything, it's usually a Monday.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing is just to schedule it and, I don't have to be there and I get my comments in. So I wouldn't, if it works for most of the group, I'd go with your date.
Okay.
And as far as setting a specific date for council, I wouldn't worry as much. I would more be focused on when is your final going to be ready.
Right.
And then when you have, when you're confident that draft is ready, then we can ask for an agenda date.
Right.
Because they'll want a product to have to attach to that.
So
that will take care of itself, so
right.
to speak.
Yeah.
In our goals, do you remember when I should know this, but I don't, but in our goals, did we have it like fall adoption kind of thing?
I actually think well, I don't know if it was spelled out in the goals per se, but I remember Zach kind of pushing. I'd actually say it was probably March this year.
Oh, okay.
So we missed that target.
I was thinking, yeah, January or February.
Yeah, yeah. So it was actually spring.
So it's okay.
So I, you know,
get her done.
Yeah, right. So we're cranking. Yeah.
Well, I think we're pretty close.
Yeah, and so that's comments and next steps.
So hopefully this year.
Well, yeah, I think we will. I, you know, it's from a what do I want to say? I'm not sure the cosmic way to put this, but from a stars aligning, I guess it'd be cool to do it in July, because that's when the first one was done. So
you get a resolution in July.
Yeah, because the very first one was approved in July 2000-something.
So
it'd be consistent. It's not a requirement. It would be, wouldn't it? Yeah.
But you don't have to schedule months in advance to be on the agenda?
Well, that's what I'm concerned about is the agenda typically fills up in advance.
Yeah,
so
can you calendar us and therefore we'll
try? Well, they would want a draft. So, you know, they want products to be kind of tiered with that. So. Yes, once you're confident that the draft is close, we could probably do that. That's what I would suggest.
Yeah, because I would hope that as far as a council agenda item,
I'm looking at our agenda right now.
Oh, okay.
There's really almost nothing identified after June 15th right now.
Okay.
It's pretty wide open.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be obviously things in there, right. But it hasn't been filled in yet.
Right.
So.
So I could talk to Kathy.
Plenty of opportunity to get it in.
Well, and I'm thinking we wouldn't be a huge item either. I'm not thinking.
The council has already seen substantially.
This is really just
right.
Frankly, I'm a kind of a sequential person. If you say you want to get on this agenda, they're going to want products to you by a certain date.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not.
It's good to a week to 10 days out at a minimum, I would think, to get stuff to.
But when in July do you think there is an opportunity for us to meet with council?
Well, it's every other week.
We have a July 6th work session and a July 13th council meeting.
So the 13th.
And it seems like council I don't know if that this was a briefing on the final. This was a progress report. It seems like they would want a work session update on the final so that they would know in the meeting whether to take action or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, everyone's looked at it. If we could look at the changes ahead of time, it could always be offered by a work session, and then we discuss any issues, and then we vote on it after that.
So just one council meeting in July?
There's only one scheduled now in July and one in August.
Okay. So my gut would be because of getting, because of us finishing the 25th, maybe a little bit of cleaning up or whatever, because there's, you know, some things to still do, to get it to them at least a week ahead of time. That's July 4th. Then we're probably looking at August meeting.
That would give Megan more time because you're going to work with Megan on your resolution.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah,
so you need to do that product too.
Because we have to come up with the resolution other than the weenie one I drafted. It wasn't too weenie.
It was a starting point.
Yeah, it was a starting point.
Yeah.
So
the resolution part of that product?
No. The resolution, do I have a copy of it?
I don't know. It might have been text in your email. I don't know if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I know I sent it
as an email.
Did I send it to you guys?
Mm-hmm. Okay. As an attachment.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have it here with me. But it was just a beginning, and I didn't realize that Megan had to write it anyhow. So, which I'm perfectly good with. Mm-hmm. We just need to come up with more whereases.
She'll do that.
Yeah. But if we have ideas for whereases. She's open to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think given holiday, given late June, 4th of July, enough notice to be able to see the final. Enough for them to review the final. It would seem like August would be the target date, would be my gut. And then the resolution. And for whatever reason we can speed it up, that'd be great.
It should be pretty much just like it's going to pass.
Yeah, right.
Easy, quick.
You would hope so.
Yeah. Like how many minutes do you allow for that?
15.
aspirational?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
And it's pretty clear that the council's not likely to have any other issues beyond just the ones that were mentioned.
I don't know.
Because I mean, if we're going to do some revision, I'd like to get addressing whatever concerns might be raised.
Right, I don't know, I was the only one that came up with some comments.
And, yeah, right.
Okay.
So, I don't know, but it's something, if you'd like, I could check in with the other counselors on.
I don't need to poke the beast.
No.
Everybody else seemed pretty good with it.
Going with what you have.
Yeah.
My suggestion would be that we might identify any changes since the previous draft. If we're able to just quickly get those, which helps us.
Yeah.
So if we don't have to go through all the things.
Right, that makes sense.
If we can see what kind of changes you made.
Right.
Then even if we have both, a revised version and one with them incorporated.
Right.
Then we see that, and that's ahead of time, a little ahead of time, that's probably all we'll need.
Okay. So that also suggests to us, focus only on the specific comments, the y'all, right?
Right.
Rather than...
Don't be changing anything else.
Yeah, right. Just focus on that.
Just the word all.
It will be highlighted in edit mode, so you'll be able to see, hey, that's exactly where they made those changes. I'm good with those changes. I read the previous document. I'm done.
Yeah.
I only came up with one really other thing, and I don't know if you want to talk about it now or
might as well.
Do it later. I can put it in my comments. And that was, it sort of struck me when I got to the web sources and links, and I was thinking about the work that we're doing, which... I'm not sure if you're all familiar with it, but on the disaster preparedness.
A little bit, but go ahead.
There's a couple of different efforts ongoing through the neighborhood associations,
right.
Like Map Your Neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I didn't really see that incorporated in here, but it's something we want to capture.
Okay.
And so it struck me, and I noted it in my notes from the other night. I didn't get to it because didn't want to take up too much time, everybody. So, but it's something back in my brain. I was going to go back through and look at it, whether it's just tied in with the links. But I want to go back to where the goals, because there's some goals and discussion about that. And I just want to make sure that we've captured kind of where we think we're going, or at least we could update in the web links and stuff, current information on resources for neighborhoods for disaster preparedness.
I think that would be good. Do you think, because you're right, I think, I don't know if you mentioned it, somebody mentioned it at one point, it might have been, it was Grant. It was Grant mentioned it to, I think, Nicole at one point about putting it in here. And Grant Oaks, that's his name, last name. Do you think it fits under community?
That's what I was just. There was a community section.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's where I think it would fit in there. Under.
Yes.
So it's more than just updating the links to provide resources to do that.
It's nice to have a goal in there.
It might be worth having a goal and something tied in there.
Yeah, I really think so. Yeah,
because I do think we actually make some reference.
I think it seems like we do, but I'm not sure where it is.
Disaster readness.
There's
in there.
FEMA, Clackamas County Emergency Management Department. So FEMA. Encourage adoption of FEMA citizens. This is in Goal 4 under. Hang on.
Do you have a page number?
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm looking for the health and food. It's under. Health and food. Oh, maybe for,
I guess it's
for,
health.
For food during. Feeding people and water in emergency preparedness.
Yeah, that's.
So it might come up in a different. But on Goal 4 on page 3, the bottom of 38.
Okay.
By 2040, Weston will be a more resilient community that has reduced vulnerability to natural and human hazards and has a long-term preventative and collaborative approach to avoid emergency incidents.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah. So
it's
then...
Strategy 2 under... Reduce goal 4, hazards. You're right. Is that Goal 4 and Strategy 2?
Correct. Yeah. Reduce community vulnerability to hazards.
So it's
kind of in there.
And then increase above that's increase awareness of natural hazards also. And I think that's where one of your links are. Maybe I'm repeating back what you just said.
Right, but there were no links. So there, I didn't see any links in the back. So my thought was I think we want to maybe capture that a little bit because there's really some things happening now already and a lot of stuff for us to work on. And those are really good and very vital and important things for us to do as a community.
And it's interesting that RAL sees one of its missions as helping to enlighten people on how to get ready for disasters of all kinds.
Absolutely.
Whether it's economic or it's natural.
On public radio, they were running a series about how Oregonians cope with natural disasters, and they put several families in kind of situation they might be in had there been the big one, an earthquake of some sort.
You know, it was fascinating. I'll be brief. I came from the coast, was my last position, and disaster preparedness is real there. I mean, communities annually have road slides that Oceanside is separated from the rest. You know, they only have one access road. That access road gets damaged, and people are stuck in place, and they actually have this mapped who's elderly in the neighborhood. People have advanced supplies of their medication, food and water. They have go packs. They do it, and they check it, and they don't just prepare. They do, and because it's real to them, it's not real here yet.
No,
it really isn't. So it's until it affects you, people don't affect those chains.
Well, and they forget here too. I mean, because it has affected. I mean, especially this year, there wasn't a problem, but a couple years ago, when you get a really, really heavy snowstorm, unless you're kind of on the flatland, you know, and I do mean just kind of that one plateau, if you're up here, you can't go down. Food can't come up because it can't get up the hills. And if you're down, you know, off of 43, like where I am in Nixon, depending on however the snow hills, you can't get up to 43 unless you walk it. Although the food can't get through because it's, you know, that's a main artery. But, you know, the city's cut off, you know, two ways. And then a 96 flood for at least an hour, unless you went up and out Rosemont, you couldn't go to 205 and you couldn't go through Lake Oswego because 43 was basically trapped by water. So it's not like it hasn't happened. It's just the memory of it.
Are you suggesting just to add everybody's mind now because of the earthquakes? And
So
it's a good time to bring it up because it's a reality.
Mm-hmm. So what are you suggesting to add to the goal four?
Well, what we might do is incorporate some goals of neighborhood development of neighborhood plans, you know, for disaster preparedness. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we have one here. It's the ready.gov neighbors helping neighbors through preparedness.
Yes, that's one of them.
Okay.
But that's not listed in here, is it?
Yeah.
Where is that?
Page.
Well, this is what I need to do
39.
Is go back to it. And
that's interesting, though, because we may have it embedded in the document, but then not necessarily in the links in the back.
Well, that's where it came up for me kind of triggered when I was reviewing the links and I wasn't seeing anything on it. And then I started to go back, and I didn't have a lot of time before the meeting, and I wanted to go back and look at it. And
But that's a really good point, because if we do provide a link within the body, it's still good to put it at the back, because you're more likely to just go.
What's
it's like an index.
Where are you seeing it on 39? Under
page
which,
39.
I know, I'm there. Which
my page number is totally
step
different.
Step two.
I see. Encourage adoption of the FEMA citizen neighborhood helping neighbor approach. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so it is there, but it would be good to. So I think that's something, and we don't need to do that ourselves. You can see those.
But we should also put it in community inclusion with a reference over to the health and food section.
Yeah.
So natural
without all the
hazards.
Details.
Is this awareness of natural hazards, or is it? Maybe it is.
Where is that?
Let's see. Reduce community vulnerability to hazards. It's almost.
Develop a post-disaster. Post-disaster plan that addresses long-range redevelopment issues such as land use, economic development.
Natural and human hazards, which I think is good. I don't know the tracks are on the other side of the river, but...
Hazard mitigation action plan.
Could be a truck going through town, too.
Hazard mitigation action plan.
Truck going through town? What type of truck?
Neighborhood plans,
terrorist?
Too.
No. Just, you know, chemical or something like that.
I think earthquakes are the concern because
earthquakes
are systemic
for
everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything we do.
Yeah.
Mm.
But
big,
you know, another big one we're really not talking about is fire, forest fire. We could be very vulnerable to forest fires with a major drought with our tree canopy.
Mm-hmm. My son was in Denver for a while, and they had fires were all over southern Denver, and you could hardly breathe in Denver.
Right, yeah.
There was a lot of medical issues that came up.
Yeah, we have some steep canyons and a lot of homes built in right around them. And if it gets dry, if we have issues with it getting too dry, those places can go quickly.
Yeah, that's we're kind of vulnerable to that. I mean, down where we are, I mean, I'm down on Nixon. You know, there's lots of trees. There's lots of foliage there.
Do we have anything in here about that, though?
I don't think so.
We have a natural hazard mitigation plan we adopted a couple of years back because I saw it on one of the shelves.
You know,
that looks at the things like fire,
and
ice.
Fuels and addressing fuels for them and stuff, and that'd managing distances between the houses from things.
The issue you get with, though, the more synergy you get, this thing sort of grows, and then you have to. So it's up to you on what you want
to
do.
Well, that's what I was thinking. This isn't the place to handle the burden, to handle the load of all aspects of just, I mean,
but we should get cross-reference and make reference.
We have a plan. We could cross-reference. Worth doing.
Yeah.
We should be doing that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it can be listed in the resources in the back.
It very well could. That's the problem with links, is if links switch over time through maintenance, then they're dead, and that's kind of your issue. This, I touched this link and it was dead, where if you just reference the document, you can always find the document. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Well, part of the update of the plan could be periodic links updates too.
Yeah.
I mean, links will be updated when you update the plan.
That would be good.
We can always check all the
process.
Links
we should check each one.
Yeah. But did you say there is a specific plan that we should be making reference to, pointing people to?
The city has adopted a natural hazard mitigation plan that addresses all these separate.
Well, there you go. Right. So that's what, and we got to find a place specific in here where we make a very clear pointer to that.
Now, do you have a copy?
It makes sense on the goal four.
There's the back shelf.
To put it in there someplace. Because that's talking about it right there.
Should we just say go to John Boyd's office to find the plan?
Just give me a call. John's office.
Actually, I wonder
Here's his number.
Call John.
It's on his bookshelf.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Here's a cell in case he's running.
Exactly. I don't think I've been running lately.
Yeah, no. Casey's in his car getting out of town.
There you go. Get a Pepsi.
All right, so that helps. You know, I think there are probably lots of links that we should probably point to.
Mm-hmm.
And for, I don't know how to aggregate all of those pointers and possibilities, but collect them from all people who are interested. Yours, John, and I'm sure, Russ, you have ideas specific that you'd like to see referenced as links that this document would point us to.
So, Claire, did you say you were going to do health and food?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you feel comfortable with
what
we've said?
What I'll do is I could give you a little feedback, too, and I'll check on a couple thoughts, and I'll go back and look at that specific section now that I see where it is, and I can connect with you on that.
Because if this is already done, these strategies are already done through the mitigation plan you were describing, then this is not,
not
these goals
much.
Have been met.
Yeah.
Or,
to a certain extent, anyways. I haven't read that. I didn't know that plan existed. That's why this is there.
Well, but even if they've been met, I mean, you still talk about neighborhoods and doing all, and that part hasn't been done yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the mitigation plan. But I think that's it.
As a general plan.
As a general plan.
Like, not the other actual implementation.
Yeah, but not the neighborhood part.
Neighborhood part.
I know they tried it before.
So strategy
but it didn't really get too far.
I think we have to look at this mitigation plan to know what it covers and what it doesn't.
But I like John's description of what they do on the coast with respect to neighborhood associations.
I don't know that the businesses have.
Knowing where the disabled and
the
elderly and people who would likely need help.
This is
I mean, the neighborhood association is the perfect entity
even though
a lot of them are inactive.
What's in the action plan?
Yeah.
I don't know how we do
It's really fascinating how
they're not actually,
aggressive.
They're quite active. There's only one.
Minus inactive.
Two that are interactive that we need to address that we're working on.
We might have to say update this hazard mitigation action plan or something like that.
Jonathan, who is it? Who is it that's worked with the city that has this whole package on disaster planning? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I would bet the sheriff or the city police officer who has been working with the neighbors participated in the development of the natural hazard
plan, and they probably worked with the county because the city's plan has to be integrated into the county's plan, and you know all the cities and the counties work together. Mm-hmm. So that's the way it was at the coast, and that's the way.
And they're connected with TVFNR for.
This is some volunteer. And he's got a whole package of stuff.
It's probably Grant Oaks.
Yes, that's what.
That's what I'm thinking because he's done the most on it.
Yeah,
him and Denny.
So perhaps we can consult Grant on what are the most vital links that we should.
Oh yeah, right. Do you want me to kind of do introduction, email introduction first?
No, I've met with Kevin. Okay. I talked to him and gotten a packet. We've revised things in our house as a result of it. So.
No, that's not.
I'll ask Grant. Okay. Links. Sorry.
Kazi Ahmed and Christine Steele have been spearheading both of those, starting kind of with the Robinwoods in Merrillhurst.
Okay.
Neighborhood associations are kind of furthest along in this.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They are. So I can talk to Christine.
A general question for this category, health and food. We had agreed on the name health and food for this category, but we ended up taking a lot of data around safety from STAR Community Index. So you're seeing a lot of safety, all of this hazard mitigation in there. And I'm wondering if we couldn't change that to health, safety, and food. In STAR, it's called health and safety, actually.
Probably then, but you call it something like food, health, and safety to be consistent with how the terms are used in most.
Okay.
Health and safety are together, and then food. So food, health,
yeah,
and safety.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That'd be all right, because it does have a lot of
safety. That's a good
safety.
Suggestion. Yeah.
Okay. Food,
that came up for me thinking about it. That's why I was looking for a safety kind of thing, or hazard and safety, but. Maybe that's why I missed it when I went through.
Yeah, right. Food, yeah.
And health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So suddenly, yeah, you wouldn't think it'd be there.
Suddenly,
yeah,
but
you're
I mean,
right
it
about health
sense.
And safety.
I mean, the
yeah.
important thing is getting people water and,
right.
and
yeah.
subsistence living and yeah. I mean, water and food.
Yeah.
Is becomes essential.
So you guys are all okay with changing the name then? We don't have to vote on that.
Well, as long as we all agree,
we have a place for it now.
Yeah.
Whereas we had it didn't really have a place.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
So that's currently health and food will go to health.
Food, health, and safety. Mm-hmm. And he's right, because as an architect, we always have to take health and safety courses. You know,
it's usually food, safety, and health. But
yeah.
food, health, and safety.
Yeah. yeah.
So it's fine.
Yeah. We may then want to grow that section that has a new name with potentially additional goals.
Well, that's,
Star I don't know about that.
Star had these three categories just... pretty much how we have it here. So they've, do you know STAR Communities? Mm-hmm. You know about them? They're the most comprehensive resource mm-hmm. out there. And mm-hmm. That's where we got all this information. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's a pretty complete category.
Yeah, I think we're good with what we've got. It's just tweaking it a little bit.
It might be in the introductory paragraphs. We might just tweak a little sentence here or two just to incorporate that element maybe if it's not there. I'm just looking at it right now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I suppose the goal four speaks to Westland will be a more resilient community. Reduce vulnerability to natural and human hazards. So that's the place for it. And a collaborative approach to avoid emergency incidents. To recover from emergency incidents.
And it says the community is resilient to natural and human hazards, which we have planned for and preemptively mitigated where possible.
Is that also under goal four?
No, that's up in the general discussion under health and food.
Okay.
That's at page 35.
Yes.
My numbers are all messed up.
That's one of my.
The page numbers at the bottom, at least in the window.
Yeah, but that for me, it's 41.
They don't necessarily print out though.
That section, we might want to tighten up a little of that. Text there a little bit.
Under health, health and food.
Health and food, yeah.
If you're interested, I found it, and what we did is we adopted an addendum to the county. We did a Westland addendum to the county's natural hazard mitigation plan. doesn't have a date in it.
Addendum to the county, okay.
Yeah, but we adopted our natural hazard mitigation plan as an addendum to the county's plan. So I just don't see a date on this thing yet.
Does this plan then provide some instructions to community groups on their actions to be taken?
It looks like it's following the statewide model. It takes each type of disaster, fire, flood, earthquake, and it looks at components of that. West Lynn, obviously, hasn't dealt a lot with snow and that type of stuff, but they've been picking the pieces that is appropriate to them and identifying those. So first it looks at what is the community, what are our, like, topography,
what are we susceptible to?
And then what are our hazards, hazard assessments. So that's just the section I happen to come by. So, yeah, there's the statewide model you follow through, and that they follow that pretty closely. Yep, okay. I just can't find a date for the life of me. It's amazing.
Wednesday was the 35th anniversary of the eruption of Mount St. Helens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the type of debris that spread in the
air quality, huge issue.
Didn't that come suddenly?
Are we close enough to Mount Hood to be affected by that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it depends on where the
winds are. Yeah, depends on the winds, yep. We could have been affected by Mount St. Helens, depending on the wind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Or which side of our east blew north instead of south.
Yeah,
totally.
And John, can you provide us, send an email to us somehow with the hazard mitigation plan you just made reference to?
Sure. Let me make sure what we have on the website is the most up-to-date one.
Oh, okay.
And then, if it is, I'll just send you the link from the website, just as easy, because it's very small.
Glad you can find things on our website.
I can't either.
I did a search. It's
our website needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
The issues with websites is what you find things that are absolutely clear to some people, and other people think it's so. It's making what's clear to everyone is so difficult. Because some people are linear thinkers, other people are graphical thinkers, and to make everybody happy is hard to do.
I work
for
IBM.
You find it on a smartphone instead of a big screen. That's a better
challenge. Read it on. Let me tell you, I was doing a lot of bifocal action trying to get this thing read too. No,
within IBM, that's an incredibly deep science. Mm-hmm. We've hired some high-paid PhDs and people that come in and really try to understand how is it that people go about effectively finding things, because they want them to find your stuff. And we sell those as services, so we better be good at it.
So how would we revise the Develop Hazard Mitigation Action Plan that includes a plan for short and long-term response in coordination with Clackamas County?
I don't even know I would do that. I think this group would want to support maintenance of the natural hazards. See, I don't think you'd want to be
instead of
the
develop.
Backers of the development. I don't think you'd want to be the people who do that. I think you'd be the people that would want to support the updates of that. You know what I mean?
So cross out develop and put support.
Don't you think?
Well,
that's for you all to. But that's what I would suggest.
Yeah, because it's already developed.
Yeah, and you wouldn't want to be responsible for maintaining
it. For preparing
it. Yeah, no. We don't have the expertise for that.
No.
But it might mean, periodically when we go through an update, we look at some of those periodically and check, is it relevant and up to date, or does it need something? Because that's part of the planning and that comes out of this. That helps other elements of the city function. Checking in as well, this plan hasn't been looked at in a while and it's really out of date and this needs.
Yeah. Well, and are there things that? I that makes sense. Yeah, it'd be nice to know when that was.
I'll just do my best to update that strategy then. To support, but there's a lot of steps involved too. So,
I can meet with you if you want to go through it together, if that helps.
Thank you.
And yes, I agree. Perhaps we can reword even the introductory paragraph now that we've given it a new title to reflect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Safety.
How we're defining safety.
I'd be happy to meet also. That would be a value.
So we're a power team.
Yeah, we did well together last time.
That's right. We worked well together in our last meeting.
Okay, that would be great.
Go team.
I worked with you on energy, but you were the main knowledgeable person about that.
Right,
I think I would most likely defer to whatever you suggested.
and I'll look at it again. I There may be stuff in there. There may not be anything.
Chuck,
I don't know.
You were the main man.
Are we want us to make changes in a Word file? Well, you know, I think you sent me a PDF, and that's right. Like really difficult to suggest.
Yes.
Any
I'd say we talked to Sean on this one.
So the question is, who has the original?
Zach does.
Well, and Shauna has, like I said, she has everything. She has access to Zach's passwords.
The original is in Zach's computer.
Well, original.
You
know,
don't you guys have a network here that you keep all that stuff on?
Well, but it's all you have to get on Zach's drive. You have to have Zach's password. So Shauna does.
But why would you have to get on Zach's drive? It should just be on a...
The network within the
network
office.
With the,
not so the network for us.
Just like people are linear graphics thinkers, some people put things that are ready when they're done on the network, and when they're working on it, they have it on their own separate.
Okay. Oh, those should be drafts.
Well, that's where I've been going for the longest time, is that why don't we collaborate online? If there's a single document that we can all have access to, we can add our edits, you can see who's made the edits.
I don't know that we have the technology. The city's very... All cities are very protective of letting people through the firewall. Yeah. So to have something exterior that's editable is kind of hard.
And something like this, since we're working in draft mode as a team, why not?
I would like to get you as a document where you could redline. You're each, especially the way you've set it up, is perfect. You're each going to work on sections. Right. And you could all redline up your sections. And somehow I could maybe suck up those edits into a master document.
But you know,
I don't know.
I was working on copy editing. Not substantive editing, just copy editing. And I sent it, and somehow I had a draft that I could work on that wasn't a PDF. And
just
redlined it.
That Word document.
And it came from Zach.
We just do track changes.
Exactly. It's just getting that five versions to all do the track changes in at once.
We just have different colors.
But could we use Google Docs? To do our collaboration.
You know what? I can send you the document, and you guys outside can do however you can make it work.
But would you see?
And then give me one
the
copy
city
back.
Planner, would you? Let me just ask you. You. You can see me.
And then I'm
going to
ask him a question.
It be any issues with us putting a document in Google Docs and us all having access to it? We do our red lines to our section.
I think I'm with you. Yeah.
And then you have the single document.
And then you send it to me in an email attachment. It would go through our filter, and then I would have one document with all the edits on one document, and I would smile because then I could do accept changes or produce it and do whatever you want with it.
So no outstanding.
I don't think Google can handle
that. I don't know.
Changes.
I don't know that.
Sure can.
You guys could figure that out, and I could just go, whatever.
Well,
you want.
At least it doesn't import track changes from Word into Google, because remember, some of Tamara's were missing in the Google version.
If you guys have an alternate solution, I'm definitely open to it.
Well,
bottom line is, I can make, if it's small changes, I could just make them, and they would be bolded, so you'd be able to see them in some type
of
mold.
Presumably, the three of us working on one section would agree on whatever the changes are.
We'll isolate our changes to one section.
Yeah.
Although we're doing food and health.
Right. The issue Megan had with us kind of, so if there's the three of them working on it and then sending you to changes, that's one thing. If then there was a fourth, according to the interpretation we have heard from Megan, that would be a quorum, and it would be kind of an unpublic-noticed meeting.
And so Megan, I'll tell her that you've listened and you've taken her. If you do have a quorum of the SAV, then we have to publish that as a meeting.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm with.
So we all couldn't work on the same section.
But here's a funny question, right? So there's one document, and ultimately, people would be working on it. Is that a quorum?
No.
Okay.
So there are things, if you really wanted to get technical, there are things where if you are all saying, here, let me shoot you this, that becomes an electronic meeting. So if you're all working together saying, we're not getting this right, shoot you a message, then you have an electronic meeting. So we've gone to the point where that can be an issue, but that is so far beyond what we need to worry about right now, because you're not... you're working on a draft document. You're really not you're not like the Planning Commission who does quasi-judicial decisions. You're an advisory board, and I don't think you're responsible for any decision-making things as of yet. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know.
I don't think you needed to worry about it.
Yeah, so I think you're probably okay. But I really do appreciate that this is such great issues that you're taking that to heart. Because that is other boards that have that decision-making responsibility have to really be careful of that. So I'm really glad you're thinking about that. But
why don't we have decision-making?
Well,
I'm hoping that changes.
We're not going to be able to make decisions.
Actually, we should celebrate the fact.
What are we here for if we can't make
decisions? You are making decisions on what you're preparing, but it's a formal adoption by the city is done by...
We're advising the
appointed or elected officials.
We're advising our decision makers.
Yeah.
Correct. Right, that's the role of the advisory boards, is to advise us as to how to
prepare. So being an advisor,
so you are
advisory rather than a decision board, we have a different set of legal protocols that are bind
us. That's correct.
Right? So the protocols we might have heard about decision makers are not necessarily the same that would apply to...
I have to ask that question because I tell you it's so complex. It may be... much to do about nothing, or it may be as simple as if you're going to meet as a group, we have to advertise that under the public meeting law. So I'd have to find those things out. If you're meeting, I think the simple way to say it is you're going to be meeting in small groups to pick your sections and provide edits on those, and you're going to be bringing those edits back to the group. I don't think that's an issue right now. I will find out because it's a great question about the public meeting law question.
But what is the quorum of this group?
Four.
Oh, it is four, that's right, because we're down to seven.
Because we're seven now, I think, is standard for everybody.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right. I always think it was bigger.
Maybe well, they debated nine. Yeah, some were three, some were five.
I remember that, but I remember this one. I thought there was more on it.
No, we've always been seven, I think.
Does that mean that whenever we have a quorum, we have to be advertised as a public meeting?
Correct.
Which is why these announcements go out. Public meeting.
In how much in advance does a public meeting need to? 7 days? I forget.
Ten days.
Okay, yeah.
So we screwed up last time, one time.
So if we really want to talk about something important, one of us should walk out so we don't have a quorum.
And then walk back in again.
Well, right now we're a quorum. But yeah, I forget where,
But it is interesting.
Well, actually, I left a RAL meeting because of that once.
But
because there, we weren't talking about anything, but we were a quorum when we were with Raul. So it's like, just for the sake of safety, I'm out of here.
But I appreciate the distinction that's been made here, which is decision making groups, and you're going to find more about this, John.
Well, Megan's going to have fun with this.
Are going to necessarily be under a much tighter and a much for good reason, right? They're decision making versus an advisory group providing information to the decision makers. We are advisory. Maybe a different set of protocols, a different set of...
Well, but you could look at it, I mean, just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
If we are providing advice to the decision makers,
right.
The decision makers may have not have another channel of advisors, and so they're basing the decision solely on our input. So we should be subject to the same structures.
She's a lawyer.
Being devil's advocate.
And the lawyer.
And I'm going to go to advisory boards have been... Part of the reason they're very hardcore about it is because different advisory boards over the last couple of years have been incredibly scrutinized to find things like that, to have things not go forward. Mm-hmm. And we just need to be careful about that.
Well, and in your own plan here, you talk about inclusion. And so why would, if you have a goal of including the public, you would not want to address public meetings and notice and know that it's been a... you not have had people maybe banging at the door, but you want to be open and...
In fact, this is the first meeting we've had in a couple of months where we haven't had people from the public
Maybe the question is just to simply, can we give notice for an online meeting?
That's what I was going to exactly ask next, yes.
That's the two questions I have. Is public meeting law, if quorum exists, do we have to advertise? And then what about small work groups that approach a quorum or email meetings? And that's the two questions
I have. Not necessarily email, but online, like on a
smart
Google
cloud.
Doc.
Think of a smart cloud collaboration as well.
Or online.
Because the public couldn't access our emails, but they could a public, like online board.
Yeah, how do we? Sure, I can ask both of those.
Rather than the meeting room, it's a URL. We're all meeting around a URL rather than a physical location.
That has the potential of driving you absolutely crazy, though.
Yeah, I will participate.
It's,
some people get in there
they drive me nuts.
They have no interest in what you're doing. Just want to.
Yeah, just troll. They just want to troll. Yeah.
You know, back on the element. comments of the health and food section. I think each of these goals under health and food, four of the four goals, I think they're all better without the dates on them.
Yeah.
All people in West Linn will maintain healthy and active lifestyles. That's a goal. All people in West Linn will have healthy and sustainable diets. Not, you know, so much by the date, but buildings in West Linn will have healthy indoor quality. So all the things we're going to work on, West Linn will be a more resilient community.
Do they all four refer to 2040?
Yeah, and I don't think it's needed.
Yeah.
The only downside is...
We can do it sooner?
We can do it
sooner.
Well,
if you don't have a deadline, then maybe it never gets done.
But the goal of the whole plan is around the 2040 preparedness. So I thought that was a 2040 goal for
everything in here. The goal is 2040.
It's 2040, and it's addressed up front in the document.
And
so
you know what?
Can we take 2040 out of all of the goals except for the...
Well, I don't know. That was a question.
I think that's where you really have to look at it.
Yeah.
For me, it's interesting with the building one here because there's actually a goal for 2030 that's very specific to the AIA and Architecture 2030 to have all buildings basically be net zero energy by then.
Yeah.
And that one I don't want to let go of.
And I think
the question is...
You shouldn't.
Yeah, right.
If in certain
and so,
section.
But that would include the indoor air, in a way. And it's not all... It's all... And to clarify that, that's all new buildings to be net zero.
And that's a lot easier to
do. That makes more sense.
No, but my point is, in certain of the sections, you have a goal... by a certain year,
right.
And in other sections you don't have any year,
right.
You begin to wonder, well, what is the difference? You know, that inclusionis est exclusio ulterior.
But
so
I mean,
you don't include it in one, and you do include it in one place and you don't in another, people begin to wonder, why is that different?
Well, I guess in this case,
but I like
my
the
thinking
earlier
is.
Discussion that
yeah.
We don't necessarily have to have it in the aspirational goal, but in the various sub-goals, we can put it in.
We can put it in there. And if the overriding is that all this is by 2040, then if there's some that are dates, you know, like, again, I'll use the new buildings by 2030.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
specify.
That's you know, there's a reason for all new buildings, to be doing that. So we could, we could push for that. You know, and where this is saying all buildings, or by buildings in West Linn, where,
but
so we don't need the date for that.
Right.
You know,
but
if we were saying all new buildings, we could update it.
The date that everybody is healthy.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't need it.
Yeah,
right.
Or even on the buildings, just having the goal of buildings in West Linn will have healthy indoor quality, and then in there, one of those is a 2030 goal
right.
of meeting this standard.
Right.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And your aspiration is that buildings will have a healthy indoor quality.
Yeah. So I think we're good there.
I just think it captures the same thing and does it, I think, better.
A little cleaner.
Particularly since the preamble has 2040 as sort of a working goal.
So you're, in summary, you're suggesting that we err us, if you will, on the side of more of an aspirational goal, and if we can make reference and it makes practical sense to make reference to an actual date, we can do so underneath those goals.
Perfect.
Right.
That's exactly what I'm saying,
yeah.
So you keep the all then. So... In a sense, all people in West Linn will have healthy and sustainable diets. That's a good aspirational goal.
Okay, rather than qualifying, say, as much as practical, all is good.
All is good, but just take the data out.
The city completed sustainable
West Linn strategic. And if there are some specific goals or elements under there
that lend themselves to an actual date,
then you can put those dates in there.
I think it's a 2006
because if you know something,
your plan in this part,
there's going to be happenings.
Okay, cool.
You'd want to put it in
there.
So
what are we thinking? Glenn gave good examples of that.
What are we thinking about all these baseline metrics? Because they all will have an impact on dates at some point in the future.
Right.
What I'm asking is, when do we get to that, and how does that get to the council and so forth?
I was going
to
say...
That could be another year.
I know it could be a while.
Yeah. I think the reason they were left out...
it's a lot of work if you...
Yeah.
Every single one of these, you get baseline and metrics.
Well, and the reality with a lot of them is we have to do the baseline to begin with. we don't have a baseline, right?
Yeah, and I think you've got to be selective about what targets you're going to shoot for, right? We can't do them all. It all wouldn't make sense. So let's look carefully at how we want, where it is we want to invest in metrics.
Now, here's where I advocate again for becoming a STAR community member.
I agree with that. They have
because
clarified
this
metrics.
Is the entire database of all the goals, and we've taken a lot of the goals from STAR that are in our update. And STAR updates theirs yearly. Every 5 years, they have a protocol. So they're always on the cutting edge of what's sustainable and taking experts from all around the country to do this. And their system allows us to track all of our metrics. And we can put goals. And that's why a lot of the verbiage has the years because STARS has the years as well.
I'd say the research I've been doing on STAR, every city that's doing STAR has a single dedicated person to do it on staff. And we don't have that.
We have a whole board.
They have a dedicated single person who can do that. I would say let's see what we can get done with our sustainability report as a board first before we do anything. Because my gut my gut is, having talked to Richard about that, just in having done a little bit of trying to track down the energy for the individual buildings, we'll go nuts.
Well, when I talked to Aaron Landy with STAR, who works for STAR, he said you don't necessarily have to have a full-time employee doing this. You could actually collect the data yourselves as a board.
Ask him for who does that. Ask him first who does that.
He said that not all cities have a staff person. So
tell me a city.
The boards can do it.
I want to know a city that does that.
Okay.
Well, I think a conversation with him is very helpful.
Yeah.
Right. How practically have other cities handled this? Do they have to go as far as dedicating someone to doing it?
Right.
Or are there other more creative means?
I addressed that exactly with him. Yeah. So I can.
Let's be open to what.
Yeah, I'm open. I just haven't heard the answer yet. A good one that I can. Yeah, I haven't heard one yet from me.
Well, I think from a practical point of view, knowing the fluidity of staff, as John was describing their openings, I doubt that the city is going to devote one person solely to figuring out the metrics of what's...
I know.
The mayor can answer that. We probably don't have the budget to.
I don't think any of us have the qualifications to do that.
Right.
But if we use STAR, then that's an ongoing. And even if board members come and go, then new board members can continue to... It's a living document, so it can continually be updated and added to, including more and more goals as time goes on.
Well, wait a minute. I misunderstood that. I thought you were talking about measurement, the metrics.
Okay. We need to wrap up pretty soon. We can have this conversation later. We've talked so much about STAR. I really want to move on. We've made decisions before.
Well, I'm going to keep talking about
it. Yeah, I know.
Because I really believe we should have that.
Yeah. But we also, before, voted that we weren't. We can talk about it, but we also voted that, at least for this document forward, we were not adopting STAR. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what vote you're referring to. Okay, we can move on. I'm fine with tabling that topic.
I agree we should come back and have a conversation about it, a thoughtful one, but now is perhaps not the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So we do want to, I think we need to wrap up, actually. Go ahead.
So y'all were talking about the question that I wasn't asking, but my question was, how will the baseline of metrics affect how the council adopts this document? In other words, if we're going to go ahead and look at that as we go along, are we changing the whole essence of the document when we start putting in the goals?
It sounds like
And won't they affect dates? When we look at a baseline, when we look at the metrics to measure by, there's some goals we'll have in there and say it's not possible. We don't have the resources to do that. Others will say, oh, this is one that's really, it's very important to work on this.
I'll just say nobody questioned it at council meeting the other day. So my gut for now is we're good.
Okay.
Leave the dates in then?
We were talking about the metrics and the baseline.
It's okay to. Well, I wasn't suggesting we need to put that in now. I'm just asking.
Right. Yeah.
I'm really new, so I'm trying to.
I think we can do it as an addendum if need be at that point. that the plan is being adopted, and then when if we, you know, come up with a whole slew of baselines and metrics, then I think we would have to do that as an addendum to see if, you know, and there may be another way to do that. I don't know what it would be.
You had made the suggestion in an earlier meeting of how to treat parts of this document as live, fluid documents that will be more frequent, subject to more frequent update and change, versus retaining other aspects of it to be, I don't know, more foundational and less likely to be changed. How we do that, I think, is something we want to give some thought to.
Well, that's the sustainability audit. And we can either do it ourselves and reinvent the wheel, or we can use STAR. So, all right.
To be continued.
Yep, to be continued. Anything from staff that we need to discuss?
No, I'm going to look at the questions you have for Megan. I'm also going to look at getting you a Word version of this document and then seeing if IS has any comments on how you all can do group edits to one document, which would be quantumly easier than trying to process edits from multiple documents. So I'll talk to Shane, John, I always call him the wrong, Boyle, he's the manager.
Shane.
To make sure, see if he has an option that I haven't thought of, or we all haven't thought of.
But again, I don't think we're going to have too many changes here.
Right,
so it's not going to be that complicated. Yeah, quite honestly, if you got three or four, I mean, if they're maybe minor, now's not the time to really have to.
You know when it would be the right time? It's 6 months ago when we were putting
this
together.
Yeah, that would have been.
And if it is just minor edits, it would just be easier to just give me handwritten, do this here, markups.
Or get a strikeout, underline back version in Word from this person or those two people. Right. That's probably the best.
There's simple edits. Yeah, keep simple it simple.
Keep it simple.
Set simple is better at this point. Yeah,
I'm open to that too. Old school definitely works for me.
Yeah, so that Word document you're going to send back out to us. So
I'm going to find it.
Don't we already have the...
Well, we have something we've sent in. I don't know if it's the final, though. So if you can send it back
out. You want to work from the same latest
document. So send the latest. Whatever he sends is what we're working from.
And then once we get that, then we will huddle and make changes.
And I'll also send you this, the updated version that also I was just leaning over and mentioning. It gives a reference to the 2006 adopted sustainability plan. So anyway, so there is already a link in the natural hazard mitigation plan to the sustainability plan. So that was kind of nice.
Score.
I'll get you two documents.
And sometime in the future, hopefully very soon, we'll be discussing in practical ways during these meetings, next steps. How do we make this real?
Right. Yep.
And working with the town council, their advice, collaboratively on where we should focus our energies coming up next.
We've got a work plan, so we already know where we already agreed to that. It's the sustainability report, which we need to talk about in more depth sometimes. It's the public outreach, which is the lecture series based on the civic ecology workshops that we came out of those, so the three lectures. And then it's explore and implement the green policies that the city has or does not have, in which case we have to, because there's some state ordinance on purchasing that Richard has implied covers some of those things. We need to really get into that, see what it really does cover and what it doesn't cover.
Yeah, I guess
so that's this year.
I look forward to putting this document to bed.
Yes.
And, you know, safely to bed. Moving on.
Sorry. Well, from the SAB, I didn't get the chance we didn't really introduce ourselves, so.
Oh, yeah, we didn't. You're right.
Yeah, so I was hoping we could do that since we haven't officially met some of us. So I'll start then. I'm Claire Bean, and I've been on the board since 2012. I'm the vice chair, and I have two kids. Let's see, and I live over here in the townhomes. And I've been a resident of Westland off and on since 1999. And I love this town. Let's see, I just got my master's degree in sustainable business from Merrill Hurst.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Cool.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. We're going to hire you soon.
That would be awesome. I actually applied for a job with STAR.
Good for you.
Wait a minute. Conflict of interest.
I know.
And I'm Bill Hohenseel. I've been a resident since 2008. I work for IBM from a home office for the last 21 years. I may retire soon. Who knows? I have two kids, one off to college next year. I graduated with a master's degree in computer science, a bachelor of arts in human ecology. I'd like to live my life as sustainably as possible, which is why I'm here, at the invitation, or at least the suggestion of Glenn back in 2013.
My name is Paula Ryan, and I've been a resident for almost 2 years, not quite, but in another month or two, it'll be 2 years. And I am a lawyer by training and practice, but I'm not admitted to the Oregon Bar, so I don't practice here. I'm a volunteer mediator for Clackamas County, which is as close as I could get, but I find it's very hard because lawyers tend to tell people what to do, whereas a mediator, you have to keep your mouth shut and just try to be a facilitator. I'm originally an East Coaster. I'm still kind of getting used to living on the West Coast. Adjusting to Westland winters, I think, are tough, particularly if you live on top of the hill and they close the roads in the wintertime. And I am on the Sustainability Advisory Board strictly by chance because I knew nothing about it, but I'm learning a lot about it and find it extremely interesting.
Excellent. Well, you know me.
Glenn Friedman, architect for many, many moons now, focused on sustainability and energy. Since grad school. Since when it was called appropriate technology. I have lived in Westland now for 20 years. Lived in Washington, D.C. for a while, Indianapolis, and then Cleveland is where I'm from originally. So winters, roads are always closed. unless you got a good car. The last remaining member from the original task force.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the most impressive.
Horrific history.
Russell, if you need to know something about history, this is the go-to guy. He has all the history of everything.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm Cecil Denny. I've lived here since 2006. I've lived in Florida and New York, Georgia, Oklahoma, Kansas, Minnesota, Texas, and here.
That's a
wow.
Interesting route.
It wasn't in that order. Okay. I have a master's degree in math, which I've forgotten most of. I'm retired now. You don't have to have that to be retired. I taught school for a while. I ran a data center in New York for a while, and I was a manager at the University of Texas Medical Branch, running an academic computing facility there. I'm interested in sustainability for more recent to that area when I was asked a question about what my legacy was, and I realized it was probably my one grandson. And it just suddenly the whole thing of, what's it going to be like when he's around? Mm-hmm. What's the world going to be like? Mm-hmm. And what is my responsibility to that? Mm-hmm. So I drive an electric car as a result. Support a farm that's out in Sherwood.
Okay.
To provide, it does local food, CSA, work on community organizing projects on this board, and a few other things. So I say retired means being tired again.
Yeah, right.
People I've met that have recently retired said, I've never worked harder in my life.
Right, yeah.
I have one thing I'd like to add about the importance to me of the Sustainability Advisory Board. I now turn the water off when I brush my teeth.
There you go.
Right. So we have three electric car owners here. Lisa.
Mine's going away soon.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, police is
up.
Police is up.
You're not going to get anyone?
No. I just, with a new driver, I want something a little safer.
What do you have?
I have a Leaf, but it's going to go away soon. And then we've got a Camry, a new Camry and stuff. So.
John, I have one question.
Certainly.
Oh, yeah. Color-coded notes.
You know, I've been doing that for years, and a teacher in Melrose Elementary down in Douglas County actually had a different process for colors. I do take color-coded notes, but they're not coded very differently. When I change thoughts, I change colors so that I can find them.
And it's fun. And you would be surprised how many people ask me, where do you, about the colors? It's a good conversation starter. But I've been doing that.
I'm glad you asked that. Because I was looking at those the whole meeting, and it didn't really register.
Yeah.
So I think we can adjourn. Are we we're done?
I second the motion.
Okay. All in favor?
All in favor.
Okay. Bye.
Cool.